This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. It is 6:15 in the evening, and as promised, we're going to be talking about the Pakatan Harapan elections. Now, that just ended recently, and the nine-week elections were seen as one of the most bitter and divisive ones in recent years, and we decided that it would be good to hear from someone from the party in the aftermath of the elections. We have Nik Nazmi, Nik Ahmad on the line with us, Pakatan Harapan youth leader and MP of Setiawangsa. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. So I know that you just recently addressed the issue of school visitations and what Education Minister Mazli Malik had to say. But before we get to that, let's talk about the PKI elections. They were just released over the weekend with Anwar as president and Azmin Ali as deputy president of the party. What did you think of the outcome?
Well, I think the outcome was, it was a close outcome, especially for the deputy presidency race. Initially, I believe many thought that Azmin would win hands down. Although many of his allies won in the party elections, but especially for the deputy presidency, it was much closer than anticipated, and it went all the way to the final week of party elections.
So, Nick, you know I'm going to ask, right? But so, were you Team Azmin or Team Rafizi?
I was publicly Team Rafizi.
Right, good to know. Okay. So, I mean, tell me about that, because, you know, there was so much anger, dissatisfaction among party members about how bitter and divisive this election was. And, you know, there was so much finger-pointing, infighting. There were accusations of money politics. How did you feel about this whole process? Because from the outside, as observers, it felt like it went on forever.
Well, I think there are two aspects to it. I mean, we are used to having very open and competitive party contests. I mean, we all remember Zaid Ibrahim against Azmin.
That's right.
2010. I was publicly with Azmin at that time. 2014, it was Khalid Ibrahim, Saifuddin Nasution and Azmin for the deputy presidency.
Yeah.
Again, it was public, And this time it was Rafizi and Azmin. So I think this is something which is part and parcel of Keadilan, which is good. This aspect of it is good because the UMNO culture of sweeping things under the carpet and having no contest policies for the top position, it may seem reassuring in the short term, but it actually kills off the party over the long run. And that has been proven with UMNO. You see the Democrats, with Hillary and Obama, and then you saw Hillary against Bernie Sanders. And, you know, it's a normal process for them to go through primaries. And I think that's very very much positive for the party. Having said that, I think we all agreed that, you know, this was the first time we did electronic voting. And I think everyone, because, you know, from our members to the leaders and those who run the elections were trying to grasp the idea of e-voting and the technicalities of it. So that was quite messy. And that's why for me, you know, moving forward, I don't think any other party, I mentioned that during the Congress, any other party in the world has one man, one vote for, you know, if you're a young lady, you'll be voting for up to 80 people or so on one man, one vote. And that, to me, is a bit too much. I mean,
well,
a bit crazy.
I was going to say that was my next question because, I mean, there's been a lot of... PKR has been very proud of this fact that it's one man, one vote, but it's a bit klangkabotla. I mean, do you think you guys should go back to a delegate system?
No, I mean, I believe that the top position should be one man, one vote. They should have, you know, the president, the deputy president, and the vice. We have four elected vice presidents.
Yes.
They should have a full democratic mandate from ordinary members. Most parties in the West have already taken that step. But the problem for us is that even the Central Leadership Council, I won a Central Leadership Council position, even that's voted on a one-man, one vote. And to be honest, I mean, people go to vote for Rafizi versus Azmin. People go to vote for Nurul Izzah versus Tan Chua. People go to vote for the youth leader positions. They don't really give a damn, I mean, seriously, for the Central Leadership Council members, you know. So that one, we can leave it to the delegate system. And so you have, you know, a two-tier election process, which I think is fine, and it's more practical, and you will, you don't have to print so intricate chais, you know, the menu or chai dance, you know, that people used to refer to, and you know, people are putting stickers on the chais because, you know, they're trying to campaign for some other person. So you have less of that happening when you have one man, one vote only for the top positions.
So Tian Chua has called for the party to reconcile after the elections. Talk to us about that statement. I mean, are there wounds from this election? Have there been rifts? What's going on?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, it was a very open contest. Again, I think, you know, the things that were raised in the party elections, whether it was by Azmin, whether it was by Rafizi, it has to be addressed. You know, we can't just kiss and make up, although they did, you know.
That was a hug, I believe.
Yes, okay, there was no kiss. But, you know, although we did that, I mean, I believe that, you know, the issues that were raised, you know, the need for everyone to unite behind Anwar, you know, as the next prime ministerial candidate, you know, the need to be focused on the reform agenda, all those things need to be recognized by everyone, you know, those who won and those who lost. And they need to be addressed because I think those are very much important things. Obviously, I think one thing about Keadilan is that, you know, people tend to dramatize because they're not used to. You know, the last time UMNO had, before they lost the elections, the last real competitive contest they had was way back in 87.
That's right.
So, yeah, and that was very bitter. And so people get used to, if it's bitter, you know, the party will split, the party will get weak. But we have proven that, you know, 2010 and then 2014 and 2018, every single election we face, and then we got stronger, and we are now the biggest party in the government and the most successful multiracial party in Malaysia's history.
So what you're saying, Nick, is that you're not going to go off and form Semangat 97 or something like that, lah.
No. I mean, I think Rafizi is committed. I mean, he said, you know, that even the ideas he raised about cooperatives for ordinary members and all that, he'll pursue that even as a normal member of the party, and he will focus on that.
So what does it mean for you personally now that Azmin Ali is deputy president of PKR? How do you see this affecting the direction of the party?
Well, I think, you know, I served, I supported him in the 2010 party elections. I served as a cabinet member under the Selangor state government, you know, as a state education exco from 2014 to 2018. So I know him very well. He's very capable, you know, but we do have maybe some differences in how, you know, the approach of the party, the strategy of the party, and how we dealt with Pakatan Harapan and all that. I think that was a major issue. But I think now that he remains as deputy presidency, I mean, we will continue to rally, you know, behind him and Anwar, you know, as the leaders of the party, and focus on building the party up towards Anwar being the next prime minister and facing the next general elections.
And now moving on to something else that's been making headlines today. You released a statement on Education Minister Mazli Malik's announcement that members of the opposition would need approval before participating in public engagements in schools. In brief, here's some audio of Mazli Malik in an interview with Astro Awani clarifying what he meant on this issue.
Saya tidak mengeluarkan kenyataan ahli politik pembangkang tak dibenarkan masuk ke sekolah. Jadi saya haraplah sama ada bersih atau lain-lain lihat kepada handset parlimen dan lihat kepada rakaman ucapan saya di parlimen semalam. Bila saya ditanyakan oleh Tanjung Karang, adakah boleh ahli-ahli parlimen pembangkang, wakil rakyat pembangkang masuk ke sekolah? Saya kata mereka boleh masuk dengan keizinan tetapi mereka perlu membuat permohonan kepada Jabatan Pendidikan Negeri. Ini berbeza. Membuat permohonan dengan Pejabat Pendidikan Negeri dengan melarang. Kita tidak melarang. Mereka nak masuk tetapi kena ikut prosedur.
Adakah ini untuk kedua-dua pihak?
Dan
untuk
ini
kerajaan
ini sudah ada kelilingnya. Dan biasanya kalau yang pihak kerajaan ni, mereka akan apa ni yang pihak pendidikan negeri sendiri akan membuatkan permohonan untuk mereka, kan? Sebab mereka sebagai pemerintah negeri sebut dan kajian pusat. Tapi bagi pihak pembangkang, saya kira satu saja. Buat permohonan. Dan kita tak akan reject pun. Cuma kita suruh ikut pekeliling yang dibuat oleh kerajaan lama pun. Cuma yang kata kita melarang, ban dan sebagainya. Saya kata, saya rasakan ini merupakan sikap agak kurang teliti bagi pihak yang melaporkan. Mereka perlu lihat kepada Hansard dan juga perlu melihat kepada rakaman tersebut.
So that was Minister of Education Mazli Malik. Nick, do you still think the move is inappropriate?
Yes, because...
Why so?
That was the same excuse given, you know, as he said, that was when we were stopped from going in the schools during old Malaysia.
Right.
The reason given is that, you know, you need to get approval from Jabatan Pendidikan Negeri, blah, 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 which is the same. And as the minister rightly pointed out, you know, it's the same pekeliling or circular that is being used to stop or you know, to have this limitation on opposition lawmakers from coming in. My point is that, you know, why can't we just let it be with the principals or headmasters to make the decision? I mean, we're talking about school autonomy. How practical is it, you know, if you're going to a school that, you know, I'm sure that the JPN has more things to do than to look into this. And as he said, it doesn't apply for whatever reason to government MPs. And I think that smacks of double standards.
So even with that mention of the fact that there will be no rejections. I mean, he was pretty clear on that. It's just about the process. So I suppose the argument that you're putting forth then is that the process is just unnecessary?
Yes, I mean, there's no guarantee. I mean, can you blame a civil servant? I mean, you know, it's quite, you know, when you leave the decision to civil servants, I can't blame them entirely if they say, you know, but what does the politician really want? You know, why can't we just say we leave it to the principals? You know, and let's assume that all politicians are well intentioned until proven otherwise.
I think it's a bit of a shock to the system in the sense that how it's operated in the past is that principals have had no such autonomy, right?
Understood, but at the same time, I mean, I know for a fact that now, you know, all the schools, I'm suddenly very busy end of the year because all this awards day and all
Yes, of course.
Which I never had the chance as a Islamic government education expert.
Because you were always rejected by the Ministry of Education, Nick, that's why.
so my thing is that, you know, if you just tell them and let the principals decide, if the principals feel that the parents are uncomfortable, you know, and that to me, you know, it should be left. You know, we are talking about autonomy. We are talking about, you know, just like the colors of school socks and school shoes.
Yeah.
If you're talking about autonomy and trusting the schools, just leave it. I used to study, you know, I'm sorry, I'm digressing, but I used to study with black shoes and I study with white shoes. When I studied hard, I did well. When I didn't study hard, I did badly. That's all it is. Nothing to do with the color of my shoes. So similarly here, we trust the schools to make the right decision and let it be. And even if it's a government MP who maybe, you know, is campaigning, you know, I know used to campaign in schools in old Malaysia, you know, then if the schools want to stop them, then stop them, you know, so be it.
Nick, before we let you go, I just have one more question about, I guess, PKR and the future. A lot of your things that tied you together as a party is coming to fruition, right? Freeing Anwar, you know, in a year and a half, he will be prime minister, most likely. These governmental reforms that you're talking about and good governance.
Yeah.
Tell me now, what is the thing that's holding this party together?
Well, I think, you know, reform is an ongoing process. Multiracial Malaysia is an ongoing process. I mean, I was listening to you guys talking about the Eddie Rejang issue and all that. So you know, that's an ongoing process. And a party like Keadilan, which is national, you know, we have members from, we have representatives, elected reps from Perlis to Sabah. We have Malays, Chinese, Indians, Ibans, Bidayos, Kadazan Dusun. So, you know, we are very much relevant in Malaysia, come what may, because no other party has gone as far as we have in creating multiracial politics in Malaysia, and one that believes truly in political reform and social justice.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We've been speaking with Nick Nazmi, Nick Ahmad Setiawangsa MP, and Pakatan Harapan Youth Leader. We have been getting a lot of messages as well about the Eddie Rejang issue. We're going to get to them right after the 6:30 news. This is the Evening Edition. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.